Let me ask you something before we even get started today. You're inbound to a busy airport. Tower has a radar approach control. You key the mic, you make a nice clean call, you tell them who you are and where you are and what you want, and a voice comes back and says, "Aircraft calling approach. Stand by." Question: are you legally allowed to enter that airspace right now? If you had to think about it, you're exactly who I made this segment for. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a sharper, safer pilot, one honest conversation at a time. And today, we're going to untangle Class Charlie airspace and the single most misunderstood rule that governs it, the two-way radio communication rule, the magic words. The reason that hearing your own call sign come back to you out of the speaker is the only thing that actually legally lets you in. Before we dig in, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo, there's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few gray hairs. Hold one of those coins in your hand and you remember exactly what you earned. AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's walk through this together. First, what is Class Charlie airspace and why does it exist at all? Class Charlie surrounds airports that have an operating control tower, that are serviced by a radar approach control, and that have a certain volume of traffic. Think of your medium-sized airline airports. Not the giant Class Bravo hubs like Atlanta or Chicago, but the busy regional fields. The kind of place where you've got regional jets and a flight school and corporate turboprops all sharing the same sky. The classic way we teach the shape is another wedding cake, smaller than the Bravo. There's an inner core that typically runs from the surface up to about 4,000 feet above the airport elevation, and it usually extends out to about 5 nautical miles. Then there's an outer shelf, a wider ring that usually starts around 1,200 feet above the ground and goes up to that same top, extending out to about 10 nautical miles. I want to be careful here. I keep saying about and typically on purpose. Every Class Charlie is tailored to its terrain and its traffic. The dimensions I just gave you are the textbook average, and they're a great mental model, but the real numbers are printed right there on your sectional chart in that solid magenta line. So the takeaway on your next flight is simple. Do not fly your memory of the airspace. Fly the chart in front of you. Look at the actual floors and ceilings and the actual radius for the field you're going to. Now, here's the part everybody gets a little fuzzy on, and it's the whole reason we're here. To enter Class Charlie airspace, you need to establish two-way radio communication with the controlling facility before you enter. That's the rule. It lives in Federal Aviation Regulation 9130, and notice what it does not say. It does not say you need a clearance. That word, clearance, that belongs to Class Bravo. We talked about Bravo on this show not long ago, and in Bravo, the controller has to say those specific words, cleared into the Bravo, before you cross that line. No clearance, no entry, full stop. Charlie is different. Charlie is a lower bar. All you need is two-way communication established. So what does established actually mean? This is the crux of the whole thing. So let's slow way down. The Aeronautical Information Manual gives us the answer, and it's cleaner than most pilots realize. Two-way radio communication is established when the controller responds to your specific call using your call sign. Read that again in your head. Using your call sign. Let me give you the scenario that makes it click. You call up and you say Springfield Approach, Cessna 81234, over the lake at 3,500, inbound for landing with information Bravo. Now, three things can come back at you, and each one means something completely different. Response number one. The controller says, Cessna 81234, Springfield Approach, Squawk 0401, and ident. They said, your call sign. That's it. That is two-way radio communication established. You are now legally cleared to enter the Class Charlie. You don't need any other special phrase. The fact that they answered you, by name, opens the door. Response number two. The controller says Cessna 81234 standby. They still said your call sign. And here's what surprises people. That also counts as two-way communication established. They acknowledged you specifically. You may enter the Charlie now, use some judgment here, they're clearly busy and they'll get back to you, but legally, the door is open because they used your call sign. Response number three, and this is the one that bites people. The controller says aircraft calling Springfield Approach, stand by. They did not use your call sign, they said aircraft calling. That is not two-way communication established. You are not authorized to enter. You must remain clear of that class, Charlie, until they come back and actually use your call sign. That's the whole ball game right there. Your own call sign spoken back to you is the key that turns the lock. Aircraft calling, standby is a closed door, no matter how polite it sounds. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. When you're a student, you hear standby and your brain files it under everything's fine. They heard me, keep going. But you have to listen for whose name is attached to it. Cessna 34, standby and aircraft calling. Standby are 5 feet apart on the radio and a world apart in the regulations. Train your ear to catch that difference. It's a habit that will serve you for your entire flying life. Let me paint the real-world picture of how this goes wrong because it's not theoretical. You're a fresh private pilot on a cross-country. You're a little task-saturated. You're flying, you're navigating, and you're nervous about the radio. You make your inbound call. Frequency's busy, controller slammed. You hear aircraft calling approach, standby, and in the adrenaline of the moment, your brain hears the word standby and translates it to I'm good, press on, you keep flying straight ahead. And now you've penetrated Class Charlie without establishing communication, which is a regulatory violation, and more importantly, you're now an unknown airplane in airspace built specifically to keep airliners and everyone else separated. That's not a paperwork problem, that's a safety problem. So what's the fix? What do you actually do? You slow down and you hold your position relative to that airspace boundary. Circle, fly a 360 out there, reduce speed, S-turn, whatever keeps you outside that magenta line while you wait, and you wait until you hear your call sign. If it's taking too long and you're getting squeezed against the boundary, you call again. Springfield approach, Cessna 81234. Holding west of the Charlie, awaiting your call. Make yourself known, be patient, and be clear. There is absolutely no shame in orbiting outside the airspace for 2 minutes. There's a lot of shame in busting it. Now, let me connect this to your training and your check ride, because this shows up. Airspace is all over the Airman Certification Standards on the Private Pilot ACS under the pre-flight and cross-country planning areas. You are expected to know the boundaries, the entry requirements, and the equipment requirements for each class of airspace. The examiner is looking for you to articulate, in plain language, the difference between a clearance and establishing two-way communication. If you can sit there on the oral and calmly explain the three responses I just gave you, the call sign response, the call sign with standby, and the aircraft calling response, you have demonstrated exactly the kind of understanding that separates a pilot who memorized a chart from a pilot who understands the system. That's what the examiner wants to see. While we're at it, let's cover the equipment, because Charlie has requirements Golf and Echo don't. To operate in Class Charlie, you need that two-way radio, obviously. You need a transponder with altitude reporting, what we call Mode C, and you need automatic dependent surveillance broadcast out, ADS-B out. That transponder and ADS-B requirement extends above the airspace too, all the way up. So even if you're overflying the Charlie well above the ceiling, you still need your transponder and your ADS-B running. What you do not need for Class Charlie is any special pilot certificate or endorsement. A student pilot can fly into Class Charlie. That's another difference from the old days and from certain Bravo airports. Charlie is student-friendly airspace as long as you follow the communication rule. Let me give you one more nuance because I promised you an honest conversation and not a watered-down one. There's a companion idea to entering, and that's the speed and the separation service you get inside. Once you're talking to them and you're inside the Charlie, you're going to get radar service. They'll provide sequencing to the primary airport and traffic advisories and separation between your airplane and the airline traffic. That's the payoff for talking to them. It's genuinely one of the best deals in aviation. You get another set of eyes, radar eyes, helping keep you alive. So don't think of the communication requirement as a hoop to jump through. Think of it as the price of admission to a service that makes you dramatically safer. And one honest word about how hard this is, learning to talk on the radio with confidence is one of the genuinely difficult parts of flight training, and it's the part almost nobody admits they struggled with. It is not easy. You will fumble a call. You will forget your call sign mid-sentence. Everybody did. The controllers were all students once too, in one way or another, and the good ones have enormous patience, push through the discomfort. The clarity comes with repetition, and one day you'll realize you're talking to a busy approach controller without your heart rate climbing, and you'll wonder why it ever scared you. So let's tie a bow on it. Here's what I want you to carry into your next flight. Class Charlie needs two-way radio communication established before you enter, and that is a lower bar than a Bravo clearance. But a real bar all the same. Communication is established the moment the controller answers you using your call sign, even if the next word is stand by. But if you hear aircraft calling, stand by, that is not your name, and you stay outside that magenta line until it is. Fly the actual chart, not your memory of the shape. Carry your transponder and your ADS-B, and treat that whole exchange not as a nuisance but as the doorway to radar service that's genuinely working to keep you safe. The details on all of this come straight from Federal Aviation Regulation 9130, the Aeronautical Information Manual's chapter on airspace, and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and I'd encourage you to read those airspace sections yourself. There's more good stuff at radiohangar.com if you want to keep going. Next time you key that mic inbound to a Charlie, listen for your own name. That's the whole secret. Fly safe out there, and I'll see you back in the pattern.